Good morning, everybody.
Good morning, Rabbi.
As usual, but not so usual this week, I'd like to thank everybody for coming at the proper time. It's always hard the week of spring forward. You know, I realize when I give this share, especially from the comments I get, I am responsible to the audience I see in front of me watching. But also there's a big audience that watches, that listens to the share after the share, I guess, watch, you could even do live streaming at the same time. And I would assume this share might get a good amount of feedback all over the internet. Why should this share in particular get a lot of feedback? Because it's about a story that happened on the internet and has become somewhat viral in the Jewish world. If you didn't hear the story, there's two reasons. If you haven't yet heard of this story, which I'm about to base the share on, one of two things. Firstly, there was a typo in the title of the share. I left out a key word. And secondly, not everything that's on Torah Anytime or some of these other places gets around to everybody. But let me begin with an amazing, the title of today's share is The Amazing Amazon Chesed Story. Saving Another Jew from Financial Loss. So, could be some of the oohs and ahs or people that have heard the story. For those who didn't, I will give you the full version. In fact, I looked into quite a bit of the details of the story and was able to confirm a lot of it. In fact, a cousin of mine knows one of the protagonists in the story quite well. The story goes as such. It's really dated back 3 years ago. We know that Amazon has taken over the world. It's no everywhere. Amazon has become this mammoth online business, which besides that Amazon themselves sells practically everything you could buy online. And if you have Amazon Prime, be delivered to your house pretty quickly. Before you know it, there'll be drones delivering things. But what's not as well known about Amazon is it's also a marketplace where an average individual could sell his wares. Instead of going to a push cart in the Lower East Side, nowadays people could, you have to register, go through whatever process you need to go through, but you could sell things on Amazon. And Jews are always in the peddling business, and there are many Jews who sell things on Amazon. Quite popular is a pretty simple move. Lots of Jews do it. We try to discourage young Talmidim from being involved in these businesses because it takes up too much of their time. But you get a good deal and you buy, let's say, lots of electronics on once, you know, you're able to get your hands on lots of electronics, and then you flip it, you sell it on Amazon for a little higher price, and you make a nice little profit on each piece you sell. Very, very common now Jewish profession. I'm not sure you call it profession, but a way that Jews used to make money. So what happened was some random Jew, actually with the seller name as L.Y. Barditchev, we'll get to that in a moment, got a good deal on iPads, pretty high-end iPads. And he posted them, let's say the number was 50 iPads, for a price of $400. He marked it up a little bit, he would make some money off it, and it was a good investment. He got it at a good deal, and he thinks he should be able to do pretty well, be able to sell a lot of them. So this person is normally a seller on Amazon, and this is one of many things that he's sold over the years. Posts his iPads, sets the whole thing up, goes to sleep, and okay. You know, hopefully some of these will sell. Wakes up in the morning. I don't know if he was checking his emails in bed. Not exactly the best way to wake up, but he wakes up the next morning and he gets a email confirmation from Amazon. All of your iPads were sold. That's pretty amazing. Wow. I sold out all my iPads. He's already calculating all the money he's making. Everything is good. Until he looks more closely at the email confirmation. All your iPads were sold at $40 each. Talk about miswriting something, a mistake. He forgot a zero in setting the price. The price was set for $40 instead of $400. No wonder they sold so fast. The poor fellow is pulling out his hair. He doesn't want to get out of bed. Oh my gosh, this is such a mistake. What should I do? Now, as an Amazon seller, again, I looked into this. Really, the laws of Amazon have changed over the past 3 years. So really, there is an autocorrect type thing. If they would see a price which is way off market value, there would already be within the system a means to correct it. But going back 3 years ago, that feature wasn't there. But you could cancel the sale. Except there's one problem. If you're a seller on Amazon and you cancel the sale, that's a bad strike for you. That'll be a bad report on your business that here you went and sold something and you're canceling the sale. And the guy made a simple cheshbon. This is part of how he makes money. This is his business. He sells on Amazon. Even if he's losing a few thousand dollars in the process, but it's not worth it to him to lose his high rating. He can't afford that. And it's better to sustain the loss of quite a few thousand dollars than to cancel a sale. So what can he do? He had the sale. He has to go through with it, bite your lip, and move on. Okay? I don't know the exact time frame. Some he went to Davin. A little while later, he gets an email. Hi, this is Yehuda from Lakewood. I'm a seller on Amazon, and I monitor all the time. I sell iPads. I monitor my competition all the time. I noticed you posted iPads for sale at $40. I knew this was a mistake. That's not going price, can't be. And then I saw on the bottom of the sale, the name of the seller was Y.L. Bardichev. I knew you were a Yid. I went and I bought every single one of your iPads. And I'd like to sell it back to you now. At cost price. That's the story. This guy, just known as Yehuda from Lakewood, went out of his way, bought all these iPads, and now was offering it back. Found the seller, was offering it back to him at a cost price of $40 each. Okay, the guy was blown away. He literally went on a roller coaster from having a horrible day of loss of thousands of dollars to be extremely touched by a chesed by another Jew he never met. And actually, this Yehuda from Lakewood wouldn't even tell him his name. Wow. The person told over the story to friends. He was so moved. And, okay, for the most part, kept quiet about it. Just recently, less than a month ago, this story got out. There's a Rabbi Yoel Gold. He's a Rav in Los Angeles. He writes for Mishpacha magazine. And he was told this story. And he wrote it up in the magazine. It got a lot of eyeballs over there. People all talking about it. And Rabbi Gold actually does these little mini videos. Appears on Torah Anytime. Could be some other sites too. And told a story about this chesed. And he said over, it was quite interesting, once the story became popular, so many people were calling him about the story. He says it really touched many people. There is a guy in Lakewood named Yehuda. He sells on Amazon. Everyone was going to him, "You're such a tzaddik. Such an amazing thing." The guy had no clue what they were talking about. Itaki is a very nice guy, and he sells on Amazon. But he wasn't the Yehuda from Lakewood. For anyone named Yehuda in Lakewood who has any connection to selling on Amazon, or being bombarded with, like, "Wow, I envy you." It came out, they did find out who the original Yehuda from Lakewood is. And he's a seller. He has Amazon groups that he's a part of. The non-Jews within his group were so taken aback by his chesed, they put up money together. They want to make a movie out of this. I don't know if this means a full motion picture, but some cinematic presentation of, look at the chesed that one Jew does for another he never met in his life, does the chesed and just sails off into the sunset. Amazing, amazing story. So, if you just walk away from today's shiur with the story, you already got more than you bargained for. But what I would like to do today is analyze this case in halacha. And really, what I like to think about is what Yehuda from Lakewood did, a chesed? Or is there some type of chiyuv, some type of halachic responsibility to do what he did? Now, as I pose such a question, I don't mean in any way to take away from what he did. For sure, Yehuda doing what he did is a wonderful, wonderful act and deserves a lot of credit, which he's not looking for, but definitely well deserves. And it's a kiddush Hashem. But you know what? If this is something which the Torah expects of one Jew to do for another, in some ways that's even a bigger kiddush Hashem, because it's setting the bar so high of what the expectation is for one Jew to do to help out another Jew. And if there is some type of chiyuv here, perhaps that's something that definitely worthy of a halacha share, but also perhaps could change some perspectives of what the Torah expects of us when it comes to chesed. So that's what I'd like to explore this morning. Is this case something which it's for sure a great good deed, it's for sure at least a chesed, what you call lefnimishur sadin, but is there any halachic basis for this to be a chiyuv, a responsibility? Now, this is cutting edge. I couldn't take the share for any website. Nobody's giving share on this. There's no tshuva yet written on this topic. So I must say, I am going out on a limb. But I'd like to explore two areas in halacha, which I think either of these areas potentially might produce a chiyuv in this case. So let's go through things. The first area in halacha is the concept of Hashavas Aveda. What do we know about Hashavas Aveda? Classic case of Hashavas Aveda: you're walking down the street, you see a lost object, you know that it belongs to a Jew. That's an important step. Hashavas Aveda is to return a Jew's lost object. And there's a siman on it, and we'll bypass, we'll talk about it maybe a little bit later. And let's assume the owner was not miyayish, and there's no circumstance that this object would be mutter to keep. There's a chiyuv hashavas aveda. So that means you as a Jewish person have an obligation to pick this up. In fact, if you pass it by, there's a clear law in the Torah, lo sucha lo salim. You're not allowed to pass by a lost object. And you would have a mitzvah saseh of hashiv teshivim, to return the lost object, and you would have to invest effort and means to see what you can do to return this lost object. Now, that basic concept, I think, is pretty well known. In the world today, it's a beautiful thing you see. Ever open sometimes to the classifieds, the back of a Jewish newspaper, you'll find little ads for lost and found. People lost something, people found something, people put an ad in the newspaper, I found this thing, and you have to know how to put it. You can't give all the identifiable details. You need to hold something back so the real owner could claim it with a simon, with some clear means of identifying it's his object. Okay, so you put an ad in the newspaper, you go about your business returning a lost object. That's a big thing. I must reminisce, I don't tell the story. It's a beautiful story. I remember hearing years ago of this sophisticated woman. I believe she was a high up in her company, and she grew up secular. And over time, she got attracted to Orthodox Judaism, and she became from Jewish lady. And her parents couldn't accept it, and they were struggling with it. Here, you know, we educated you in the best of institutions, and you go to this archaic, you know, religion that, you know, the New York Times portrays, you know, every other article as, you know, backward, fundamentalist. And her parents, you know, there's a big gap between them. And she left her planner. This is going back 20 years ago. You didn't have cell phones with everyone's numbers in them. But she left her planner with all her business contacts by a phone booth. That's really going back years ago. Yeah. In Manhattan. And another firm Jew happened to come to that phone booth, saw a left thing, opened it up, and saw a name, which is a Jewish name. Jewish names, multiple names in it as entries. This Jewish person was a little not sure what to do, except this happened in the summer. It was Parshas Kisetze. This guy was a Baal Kore. Parshas Kisetze, the Torah talks about Hashavas Aveda. Oh no. How could I pass this one up? He took the thing, but there was no card that said the owner of this object's number. He went through the things. He saw this, obviously a Jewish person, a lot of rabbinic rabbis and Jewish names in there. She saw in one page scribbled the number, Mommy. This firm person went, called this woman's mother and told her, I found this thing. It must be your child. The Maisa, that act of Hashavas Aveda totally changed the perspective of this young lady's parents' view of Judaism. And from that point on, they totally accepted it. Amazing story. Just, that's Hashavas Aveda. Question is, that's by an object. Is that the extent of Hashavas Aveda? So I'd like to share with you a few gemaras, a few halachas, that Hashavas Aveda goes beyond returning a lost planner, a lost phone, a lost briefcase. Hashavas Aveda goes beyond that. There's a gemara in Baba Kama on Pei Aleph Amud Beis. There's a similar gemara in Sanhedrin Ayin Gimel, where the gemara darshens the pasuk Vashivosalo, you should return the object to them. The gemara there says that even applies to Hashavas Gufo. A person himself is lost. Rashi and Sanhedrin talks about cases, a person drowning. That's also included in Hashavas Aveda. Hashavas Aveda doesn't just apply to the person's object, applies to the person too. Really, you think about it, to some degree, it's a kavachomer, right? If the Torah expects you to go far to help out the property of another Jew, you could help the person physically, of course. That's also part of Hashavas Aveda. There's a Gemara in Baba Metzia, Daf Laman Aleph, which is brought lahalacha in the Shulchan Aruch at the end of Hashavas Aveda, Simen Reish Nun Tes, Sif Tes, in the middle of your sheets. Aveda's karka. And Aveda, when it comes to ground, right? Normally think of Hashavas Aveda as a classic movable object, metaltolin. What about Aveda's karka? And he'll explain the case. Gamkein chayv lahashif. Shem ra mayim bon lishtof sada chavera. You see, water is about to go and drown your friend's field. Right? The dam leaked, and water is about to rush and cover your friend's field. Chayiv ligdor bifneim kedei lahatzel. You'd be responsible to put up a fence, do whatever you can, build a wall, to stop that water from damaging your friend. Now, obviously, whatever expenses you incur, you could go back to the person for him to pay it, that you would have a taina, you have a tefillah against him. But to the responsibility of Hashavas Aveda, here you see, is not just a lost object, but my friend's about to incur financial loss. I have the means, I see what's going on, I could prevent it. So the halacha is, you're chayv to do that. That's part of Hashavas Aveda.
We had this to a small extent last year by Hurricane Irma, with, you know, on a large scale, because, you know, obviously the Atlantic community opening up and everybody else to whatever extent those communities open, and then you had people that stayed back. So everyone's kind of all over the place calling, is my house in the
right
on this, and then the truck coming down with, you know.
Right. It's a very good point. You know, you bring the hurricane situation where half the town was here and half the town left. So I was part of the half that was here. My wife's a good flirty. And I remember situations. Now, obviously, you know, your own financial responsibilities and security responsibilities come first. So you have to take care of your house, your backyard, everything to make sure that you're safe, and really also make sure you don't damage other people. But yeah, you're right. Sometimes people pack out of town. They forgot to do this, they forgot to do that, and they could incur a loss. They say, hey, if they wanted to protect their property, they should have stayed. But if you are able, I remember a neighbor of mine, you know, packed out of town, and he had this mailbox that was like there. Now you have a strong wind, the mailbox was like out of the ground, I don't know. It could blow away, it could smash things, it could be a mazik too. So, yeah, if you're able to help out and do something to help your friend potentially from a loss or from doing damage, yeah, that's part of the mitzvah Hashavas Aveda. Hashavas Aveda says, whatever I can do to prevent. Now, this case is something which, you know, there is perhaps a difference between something which is, you know, it might be a problem, versus something which you see is in the line of fire. There's a clear and present danger from the situation. That's the case of the Shulchan Aruch, right? The water's coming, it's making a beeline straight for the guy's field. So that situation, I could do something to save it. I could hire people to put up sandbags there. That's what you should do. That's part of Hashavas Aveda. So seemingly the answer is yes. The halacha here, Chayv ligdor b'fneim kedei lahatzel. They do talk about, you know, normal Hashavas Aveda doesn't really require me to spend money. But there's a difference between spending money and laying out money, which I know the guy would pay me back. So seemingly most of the cases you're dealing with a friend, an individual who's a reasonable person, you did something which is clearly saving his property, the guy would pay you back, you know. You hired workers to build, put a sandbag wall up to save his field. Yeah, That seemingly is something that one would be responsible to do. Now, I want to take this one step further, this idea, and this is an Aruch HaShulchan. It really dates back. The Minchas Chinuch before him also writes like this, but it's codified in Halacha by the Aruch HaShulchan. If you look at the letter Gimel in the middle of your sheets, Ksiv L'chol Avedis Achicha, Torah says you have to do whatever you can to all the lost objects of your friend, V'der Shechazal, Rabos Avedis Karka, Shechayev L'hashiv Gamkin. So this is the Gemara we talked about, that you'd be responsible to save his property. Gom Shereh Shatav Mayim Baim L'sada Chavera, Chayev L'gdorf Neim Kedei L'hatzel. V'chein B'chol N'yonei Hefzit Sheyachol Lios Eitzel Chavera. This applies to all cases of a financial loss that could occur by your friend. And it's within your ability to prevent this. You have a responsibility to prevent it. What happens if someone doesn't do this? Aruch HaShulchan writes, over ba'asei the hashiv teshivein, you'd be liable for the lav of hashiv teshivein, of the asei of hashiv teshivein, uvelo sasei the lo sucha l'salein, and the lav of just passing by something like this. So this is not just a poetic idea. This is like Hashavas Aveda. What you see clearly from this Aruch HaShulchan, it follows the halachos of Hashavas Aveda. So just like Hashavas Aveda, there's a lav, you can't pass up that planner you see by the phone booth. There's an assay to return it. The same thing happens. I pass by my friend's field. I see damage is about to happen. I have the ability to save him. You have to do that. Now, if you really think about this principle, there are so many applications to this. I'll share with you a few that I came across. Yes?
In today's day and age, when most of us are walking around with cell phones, and at the time of the Gemara, they didn't have this, so there was a more of a stretch between what someone may have to stand up and do as opposed to asking, I would think, right? Because now, the normal thing is, it looks like it's going to happen. First thing you do is try to call the person and say, do you want me to do this for you?
Right. So that's assuming you know the person
is. More the phone call than anything else.
Right. I hear what you're bringing up is the BCE era, right? There's a difference between before cell phones and after. So you're saying if I have the ability to contact the person, you're right, if I know who the person is, that's in some ways it makes it easier to do it. Like the first case, I was going to give you an example. It's a practical application. It happens all the time. You go in, you go into shul and you see someone else's car with the light still on. Right? I'm not talking the first few seconds after he parks his car, which you get confused. No, the guy left his lights on. So you would have a responsibility. You'd have a chiyuv, not to pass that by, right? If you have his cell phone number, call the guy up and tell him that. If he's in the shul and this, or even to make an announcement. Hey, somebody left his lights on. You see people doing that. But that's a chiyuv of Hashavas Aveda. It's a black and white chiyuv, according to this Aruch HaShulchan. I'll give you another case. Some people might know of this. Fortunately, you could have scams, right? Credit card scams, Ponzi scams, all different things. You find out about that. Again, it's different if you have to put your life on the line. But a simple situation, you know something is a scam. 100%, you have obligation of a Shavas Aveda. If I could prevent a person from being hurt by this scam, I have to do that. There's no Isser of Lashon Hara in such a case. Absolutely not. There's a Toeles, there's a tremendous benefit from it. And if you know something's a scam, and this person might be susceptible to it, you have to tell them. Right? Sometimes, the laws of Lashon Hara are the type that sometimes people get nervous, I don't want to say anything. Right? These things, 100%, it's the opposite. There's a responsibility. You know something's a scam, right? It was brought up the other day. There's truth to that too. Other week, right? You have someone, quote-unquote, collecting money. But you know, it's not a real story. It's a fake story. Again, not something maybe you want to ask a Shiloh about it to verify. But if you know something's a scam and he could be milking people out of money, 100%, that's a means of saving another Jew from a financial loss. There's something to that. Yes?
So according to the Aruch Shulchan, wouldn't every case of Hashava Saveda be a case where you're over an Aseh and a Los Aseh?
Yeah, by Hashava Saveda, the average case, if that Balkare would have left that planner there, then it'll be a lav he transgressed and a bit of an Aseh. Yeah, so that's a big deal. That's why it bothered him. He was laying those words. How could he let that? I'll tell you another thing which I saw brought down. The first source of this is an Orach Chaim. I think over there in Kitzetze. But others have talked about this. We talk about saving another Jew's finances. Really, the earlier Gemara talked about saving a person from bodily harm. What about saving another Jew from spiritual harm? The Orach Chaim HaKadosh speaks about that's part of Hashavas Aveda. If the Torah wants you to do whatever you can to help another Jew, not to sustain financial loss, not to sustain physical loss, it's a Kal Chomer. The Torah wants you to do whatever you can to save another Jew from spiritual loss. A person who could be involved in Kiruv, a person who could go help out another Jew who is less privileged, didn't learn Torah, didn't know these things. That's part of Hashavas Aveda. Right? What greater Aveda than to return a lost soul to his creator? Big deal. Everybody should. So.
That also opens up for Kanaim to start policing everybody on the
Yeah, no, right. So this does not necessarily give way to the Tznius patrols and the like. Those might be other problems. Yes. I'll show you one other halachic example. This comes up in Hilchos Eidos. If you look in the bottom of your sheets on the first side, very interesting halacha that a person has an obligation to testify to help out another Jew. If you know testimony, then you have to testify. If one doesn't testify, there's a law in the Torah of passing up such an opportunity. If you look at the halacha, this is Simen Chav Ches, the beginning of Hilchos Eidos. Kol mi sheyodei Eidos l'chaveiro, v'roi lahidu. Right? You know testimony about your friend, and you're a kosher aid, you're fit to testify. V'yesh l'chaveiro t'olos be'edu so, and your friend would have some benefit from testifying. Chayiv l'hoyed, you're responsible, you have an obligation to testify. If the guy comes to you, please testify my behalf. Right? We can have these cases. Sometimes, you know, a Jew gets into a fender bender. You were around, you saw it. There's an obligation, you know, to help out. Now, the Nesivas talks about the classic cases where you have, let's talk from a Bezin standpoint, two Edom, two witnesses. What happens in the case where you're an Eid Achad, you're a lone witness? You can't really do so much. Now, there are scenarios where even one aid could do something if he's trustworthy, certain situations. But in such a case, if you fail to do that, the law of the Torah that you have to come forth and testify wouldn't apply. But the Nesivas of Mishpat, or Yaakov Milisa, writes, I'm reading the third line, case where you can help out in the monetary case where you're believed as two Edim. Granted, if you don't testify, you wouldn't transgress the Torah's commandment of Imlo Yagid that you should come forth and testify. Mishum Hashavas Aveda Labailam. And the Sivas writes, you'd be responsible to come and testify under the guise of Hashavas Aveda. If I could provide testimony, which would serve as a means to help a Jew protect his money, save his money, and I pass up the opportunity, I passed up as mevato a mitzvah asay daraisa v'ashavas aveda. Not the rabbanon, not something poetic. This is 100% in the Sivas HaMisper saying this is a chiv hashavas aveda. So we see from all these cases, Hashavas Aveda doesn't just mean returning that nice pocketbook, planner, briefcase, cell phone. No. Hashavas Aveda extends to helping a person physically, helping save a person from any type of financial loss. That's part of Hashavas Aveda. So if that's so, let's go back to our original case. The amazing Amazon Chesed story. Right? I'm Yehuda from Lakewood. I'm online. I see there's posted iPads for $40. I know there's no way a guy could sell for $40. It has to be a mistake. It has to be he left out a zero. And I see it's a Jewish name. Who else? You know, no Gentile is calling himself Y.L. Nibarditchev.
No.
Right? The stomach's the source of associating himself with the lazy Yitzhak Nibarditchev that helped him out here. So, what should he do? Now, here's where it gets a little tricky. We know Hilchos HaShavas Aveda, one of the limitations, if the guy gives up hope. If the guy was miyayish, if a person gives up hope of his object, so at that point, that's a limitation. You have no responsibility of Hashavas Aveda. So it's the opposite. If a person gives up hope, at that point, his object is hefker, and it's finders keepers. Right? And halacha goes the other way. If it's losers weepers, then it's finders keepers. So, if the guy gave up hope, one will be allowed to keep it. The way the story is told over, when the guy realizes his mistake, he's like, forget it. It's over. I can't cancel the sale. It'll mess up my rating in Amazon. And the guy gave up hope. But that only happened after Yehuda from Lakewood already saw the posting. This is important halacha in Hilchos HaShavas Aveda. Timing is everything. If I come to a lost object before the owner gives up hope, at that point in time, I have a responsibility of Hashavas Aveda. And his fact that later he is miyayish doesn't affect Pashtas, my original chiyuv.
Would you usually work here? Let's say the guy was miyayish already. The object isn't even lost yet. Let's say the guy noticed it. Not lost yet because he hasn't sold it. No one's bought it. It was coded into the fact that anybody actually
right.
bought it. No one actually has it.
Right.
Is that the seller, the rating coming off?
So, that's a very good question. How do you view an object which is posted for sale on Amazon? Right. Is it still fully in your possession? You say, yeah, until the transaction is complete, it's in my possession. But I'm not sure it really matters if it's in your possession or not, but if you see clear damage, just like the field case, the water's about to rush this guy's field. The clear damage is about to come when you post something way below market price on Amazon. The damage is about to come. So I'm not sure it really matters where it is in your possession, not in your possession. Okay. That's interesting. You might say that it's impossible even for this guy to be miyayish. That might be true.
Is there a toast here?
Oh, excellent, excellent, excellent point. All right? Mr. Brass brings up, what about the idea of a toast, of a mistake? It's a very good point. Really, I left out the other scenario, which definitely could have happened. A Jew's surfing Amazon, and he sees, oh my gosh, look at this deal! $40 iPads. Dan's not even posting this one. Oh my gosh, let's jump in. I'll tell all my cousins. That's not so poshut. If you see that it was a mistake by a Jew, for you to benefit off a Jew's mistake and to buy it for yourself, that's the opposite extreme. We're giving a whole shiur on the responsibility of chesed or shavas aveda or perhaps other mitzvahs in the Torah to do here. What about helping myself profit? I'll make a good profit off this. So it's not so simple because it's like anyone who knows the market, this was a mistake. And it was a mistake made by a Jew. Not so simple to do that. Now, this could be a whole shiur unto itself. You say, what happens? Halal makes a mistake. And everyone's jumping on the glitch and buying it. That deserves its own shiur. Yes. But yes.
I mean, this whole thing, it's, I mean, you know, these iPads or whatever were sitting on the guy's table ready to be shipped even.
Right.
Like, the whole thing is trackable. I mean, I don't even care if it's doing it like what.
But once you post it, at that point you made yourself susceptible to damage.
I hear that, but it's, I mean, yeah, right. the idea that it's lost or whatever, I mean, there's simanim everywhere.
Right.
Throughout the entire thing.
Right, but you made a mistake. The mistake you did, that was done. You posted it in Amazon, which...
But the loss in this case is the financial loss.
Right.
Your key of Hashava is on the finances of the guy.
Right.
You're moving to save, to prevent him from getting a loss of finance, not
Yehuda.
An object.
You're saying Yehuda, right?
Right. So I'm saying, but I don't know if you should change that.
Now let me give one other scenario. I'll get to a couple points in a second. But, so in terms of the Yish, even if there is possible Yish over here, the guy, the finder, came across it before the guy even knew about it. So there wasn't any Yish yet. There is a concept, famous Gemara in Bava Metzia, of Yish Shelo Midas. If I know a guy would be Miyayish, he would give up hope when he finds out about it, could I predate that Yish earlier from the moment it was lost? It's a mountain famous machlokas between Rava and Abaye, and this is one of the few spots we pass on like Abaye that it does not work. So there would be no Yish over here that would give up hope, that would place the object mutter for you to keep. Mutter for you, it would not have a chiv hashava saveda. And in such a case, seemingly, one would have a responsibility of hashava saveda. And I would think Yehuda from Lakewood, they should make a parade for this guy. They'll make a movie for this guy. But I'll tell you something. Simply put, he's just doing what the Torah says to do. The Torah says, I would think, in such a case, this is saving another Jew from financial loss. Assuming that he would be paid back over here for the loss, which would, for the money he's lending, he's putting out there. Right? Either way, if the guy doesn't pay him back, boy, as Mr. Gidelson said before, he'll make it back. To buy them for $40 a piece, what loss does he have? Right? If the guy doesn't pay him back, he'll make good money on it. But I would think in such a case, there's 100% an obligation of a Shavas Aveda to help out this Jew. Amazing. Yeah, it's probably a mistake by the guy. Yes, excellent point. Right? Maybe one could fault the guy. Hey, buddy, when you're posting 50 iPads to sale, better make sure you get your zeros straight. Right? If he was working for you, would this guy still be working for you? You can't make a mistake like that. It's negligence.
Put something on a wrong table, you still lose it just a
mistake. Oh, exactly. Is Ashava Saveda applies even in a scenario where it was lost by a carelessness of the owner. In fact, the Gemara says by Ashava Saveda, you have to return a lost object to the guy even 100 times. Can you imagine doing that? The guy lost his briefcase. Give it back to him. Shlomazel loses it again. A second time.
His mother was right.
A third time. You're right, his mother was right.
But the
Hashavas Aveda applies right? Excuse the pun with Steve. The Hashavas Aveda applies to a loser. It does. Even a person who constantly loses something, constantly is forgetful, Hashavas Aveda applies. So these halachas too, even a person who's careless and negligent, but hopefully he'll learn from his mistakes. He won't just rely on the kindness of another Jew and get it right.
Let's say the guy didn't have the money to spend, I'm going to say 40 or 50.
If you don't have the money to spend, you don't have to do it. You don't have to borrow money to do it. But it might be the type of thing, again, I'm not sure this is a chiyuv at this point, but if you tell someone else, at worst, this is a great investment. Right? This case is an easy case. You just need somebody with capital. If you could put down the money to buy iPads of $40 a piece, you know, best case scenario, you're doing a mitzvah. If you don't do a mitzvah, you're making a good profit. So, worth it either way. Yes?
Nowadays, let's say the Amazon case happened again now. Would there even be a concept of use there? Because Amazon does have more safeguards now.
Right. It seems Amazon has more safeguards, and they themselves are correct the price.
There wouldn't even be an idea of use for us. It would just be most likely.
So that's all one facet of halacha. But I believe if you turn your sheets, the back of your page, there's a second facet of halacha, which would also be potentially a issue to debate here. The Chafetz Chaim in Hilchos Rechilos, this is Chelek Beis of the Sefer Chafetz Chaim, Perek Tes, Sif Aleph, talks about, as you mentioned before, that if you see someone behaving improperly, you have a responsibility to tell that over to other people to save them from damage. And if you look at Aleph, and Echad Rosh Shechaver Rotsu L'Shtata Be'ez Davar M'Echad, see someone else get involved in the business proposition with somebody else. V'umashayah Shemavav Yisov Aydei Zeh Inin Ra, you're going to be hurt by this. Sarech L'Hagid Lo K'dei L'Atzil Min Inin Hara Ahu. You have to save the person. Okay, there are certain T'nayim, certain ideas that we have to be fulfilled to do it correctly. But you have to tell the guy about it. The Chafetz Chaim says, what's the makor for this? So it's interesting. He doesn't bring Hashavas Aveda. And I saw a few of the modern Sfarim written on the Sefer Chafetz Chaim actually asks, why does he leave out Hashavas Aveda as an issue here? Perhaps I'll give an answer in a moment. But he brings Gemara Sanhedrin and says, it's Nabir Mayim Chaim, there's a chiyuv for one to save another Jew's money, because of the pasuk, the lav, lo samod al dam reyecha. One should not stand by the blood of another Jew being spilled. Now the simple application of that is if you could save a Jew, Jews being attacked, the Jews being prosecuted, lo samod al dam reyecha says, I have to do whatever I can to save another Jew. The Chafetz Chaim says this applies not just to physical harm to another Jew, but also to monetary harm. He writes that over here in the Be'er Mayim Chaim, and if you look in the bottom of your sheets, in his introduction to his Sefer Avas Chesed, I'll quickly run through that. V'im chavero mevakish menu hava, your friend who needs a loan from you, nogalo dovazel v'slakhanam yovenu, he'll be hurt, kagom shaydezel, Yachal Hatzel me. Listen, Mabamalov Chai Gavna. The mafia is after him. Vumanea Atzmal Hativimo. You don't help him out. Over old Alosa say, Vumasha Kosovto Losamal Adam Reacha. And Torah says, if be careful, person who's in Sakalas Maves, and you can save him, you have to do that. The Yosimizeh. Chavetz Chaim says, it's even more than this. Based on the Sifra in Parshas Kedoshim, and the Rambam brings in Sefer Mitzvos, the Lavdu Osama Kol Nami Imro Chavir Leiza Inin Hefsid V'Yachol Hola Misatzel. You could save the guy from financial loss, and you a little lazy. You sit back. You don't do it. Over Alo Samod, It doesn't have to be the mafia chasing after this guy. It doesn't have to be there's a contract on his head. Even if you're saving this guy from financial loss, the Chafetz Chaim says that's part of L'samar Adam Riacha. Now, this is all the Chafetz Chaim. There are others, amongst them the Meshech Chachma, Rav Meir Simcha of Divinsk, the author of the Or Sameach, in his Sefer on Chumash, Parshat Kedoshim, talks about the Israel of Samar Adam Riacha. And over there, he writes that it specifically applies to physical harm, physical threat of life, but not to financial. He argues with the Chafetz Chaim. But seemingly, this is a machlokas achronim. The Chafetz Chaim clearly states his position in la halacha. There are others that disagree. But again, may not be as clear as Oshavas Aveda, which I don't think people are arguing about. But here, at least you have machlokas achronim, you have the Chafetz Chaim, would say, if you could save another Jew from financial loss, that's included in Lo Samar Adam Riacha. And I'll tell you, perhaps a couple nafkaminas. One thing for sure, like Hashavas Aveda, part of it, like we said, is totally on the person being miyayish, not being miyayish, right? Lo Samar Adam Riacha doesn't apply, right? If you see a Jew who gave up hope of his life, that's it, the mafia is going to get me, that doesn't affect the din. Well, Samar Adam Riacha says, you have to do everything possible to save this other Jew. He gave up hope, he's never going to win this court case. But you think you can help him? Well, Samar Adam Riacha says, you have to do that. So it goes further than Hashavas Aveda. Also the financial constraints. Hashavas Aveda is only if you get paid back the money. You don't have to spend money that's specific, you know, other losses in Torah you have to spend money on. There's a specific din by Hashavas Aveda that one doesn't have to spend his money on it. But Lo Samar Adam Riacha, that does not apply. It's like any other law in the Torah. But one would invest money not to transgress it. So if I could save another Jew's life, you have to spend some money for that. So if Lo Samar, according to the Chafetz Chaim, applies to financial matters too, then even where it would cost him some money, let's say this would cost a guy $100, but I could save another Jew. And again, if you're saving another Jew from a financial loss, Hakaras Atov, you should at least, you know, pay back the guy. But let's say you can't pay him back. He's not going to be paid back. Still, Lo Samar would say, even if you incur some degree of financial loss, that also is included in this law. So perhaps that's why the Chafetz Chaim didn't talk about Hashavas Aveda. Chafetz Chaim knew the din of Hashavas Aveda. But Lo Samod in some ways goes stronger, is a bigger all-encompassing mitzvah, which one would have to do to help out another Jew. Again, Lo Samod Adam Riacha, I believe, applies even in the case of the Pshia. The guy took money from loan sharks, and now they're after him. The mafia is out to kill him. Should I give him better business advice? Don't do deals with the mafia? Yes. You should do whatever you can to give the guy Eitz Tova. Don't mess with Gotti. But when a Jew's life is at stake, or here, financial ruin, 100%, you should do whatever you can to save them. So, according to my position, my view of this situation, it's a wonderful chesed that Yehuda from Lakewood did in this amazing Amazon chesed story. But really, if you analyze halacha, there's basis for two mitzvos, Hashavas Aveda L'Kol Yalma and Lo Samar Adam Riacha, at least according to the Chafetz Chaim, that one will be obligated to go and do that. And that says a lot about the Torah. The Torah expects, that's a standard, how high the Torah expects one Jew to help out another. I'd like to end with two quick stories along these lines. I'm not passing in these exact stories. It's a chiyuv. But just to hear.
I just want to enter one thing.
Yes.
You have to return something that's lost.
Mm-hmm. This is pointed out as giving a doctor permission to treat patients because they lost their health.
Excellent. That's an excellent point. Yes, a doctor's obligation, a doctor, you think about that, a doctor who's involved in helping people's health really could be doing the mitzvah Shabbos Aveda all day. It's quite amazing. Okay, Hawk, he's doing it for parnasa, he's doing it for money. It's still a mitzvah, there's still wonderful, wonderful things involved. Now let me just end with two amazing stories. One happened a month ago, and one happened 16 years ago. What happened a month ago was there's some small little fish store in Borough Park that I think sustained a fire. And okay, you have a fire in your store, what can you do? I don't know if the guy had insurance, didn't have insurance. Yeah, and in the meantime, he can't afford to rent another store. Okay, he's out of business for the next few months until he gets his store back in business. Comes along his competitor, a block away from guy, offers this other guy, would you like to set up shop in my store? This story was publicized. The owner of the store was actually given a award by the local in Borough Park, by the councilman, of course, is Jewish too. And made the press. It's a beautiful Kiddush Hashem for one Jew to open his store to somebody else, his competitor. Wonderful thing.
You saw him smoke fish.
But I'll tell you another story. very smoked fish. I'll tell you another story. See if you have one line for this one. In about 2003, there was a big blackout that hit the eastern coast of United States. I believe it went from New York all the way up state, Buffalo, further, Niagara Falls, I think it hit. And people in the dark, I remember it. And one verification, there are two big Chol Yisrael ice cream companies in New York. One is called Klein's, the other is called Mahadrin. Now, they had their ice cream, you know, under ice. But it was only X amount of time. They can keep it that way till it all goes bad. Klein's got its power back before their competitor, Mahadrin. And literally, their competition quite easily would just melt away if they sit back and do nothing. Mr. Klein went and offered Mahadrin to bring whatever they can into his freezers to save it. Again, one Jew saving another Jew from financial loss. These are amazing stories. But it's a testimony to amazing Jewish people who do chesed, but it's also a testimony to the beautiful laws our Torah has, Torachar Darkei Noam, V'chol Nisiv HaSeh HaShol. Thank you very much for coming and listening. Wonderful week.